Lord, we do thank you, Father, that you are on the throne and you are sovereign and control of all things, Lord. And we do want to pray tonight for the different children that are sick in this church, Lord, that you would come to them and touch them in their bodies. Lord, I pray that you would give the moms wisdom and the dads wisdom if they should take their children to the doctor or not. Lord, I pray that you would just be with every one of them tonight and give them what they need physically, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, strengthen the parents, Lord, to be able to care for these little ones, Lord. And we just commit them to you and pray that you would just be with us now and minister to each one that will listen to this recording, whether online or listen to it again after class. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are looking at chapter 7. And chapter 7 talked about the practice of a devotional life / receiving his word. And the text that they used for that, again, was Luke 10, verse 39, where there was contrast between Mary and Martha, that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to every word that he was speaking to her. Oswald Smith said, and this was in the chapter that we read, every morning, day in and day out, I get along with God. This was his testimony. I would not dream of going to my office before, first of all, spending time alone with him. Nor would I attempt to carry on my church work without first meeting God, morning by morning. Directly after breakfast, I retired to my study, closed the door, and there spent the first hour alone with God. For over 50 years now, I have observed the morning watch. If God has used me in any way down through the years, it is because I have met him morning by morning. I solve my problems before I come to them. Without the morning watch, my work would be ineffective. I would be weak and helpless. It is only when I wait upon him that I become strong spiritually. How many here would testify to that and say, yes, it's true? You've seen that in your own life. When you do take the time to sit at Jesus' feet, something happens for us inside. It strengthens us. It helps us to get the right perspective. I love how the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Like for me this morning, just one phrase kept coming to me. And I guess it was from a conversation I was having with my mom, what her pastor preached on last Sunday, which I listened to his talk, and it was very good. And it was, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. So I just wrote that down on a card, and Samantha has stayed in the bedroom downstairs in my house, and I have like a little board there with scriptures and pictures and different prayer needs, and I just put it there. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then I just put Jesus, because Jesus said that, right? So that morning watch is so important because the Lord does speak to us in those times to prepare us for whatever lies ahead. That's why it's so important to take that time. And all of us don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we shouldn't worry about it, because when we worry about tomorrow, it's sinning. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. And Jesus already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So we have to keep reminding ourselves of that, because we tend to live in tomorrow, right? Yeah. So the morning watch is important because it's in those times God can speak to us and say, be still. Just be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what's going on. I will be exalted among the nations. George Mueller said, I saw that the most important thing was to give myself to the reading of the word and to meditate on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed. I began therefore to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. The first thing I did after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon his precious word was to begin to meditate on the word, searching as it were into every verse to get blessing out of it. So again, there's another testimony of just how God would minister to George Mueller when he would spend time with the Lord. He would be comforted, he would be encouraged, he would be warned, he would be reproved, and he would be instructed. And how many times does the Lord minister to us in that way when we open the word and listen to what he has to say to us for that day, receiving his word. I love this that was stated in the book that we're reading through. If God didn't preserve his word throughout each generation, how would we know there is a God? How would we know what he's like? How would we know why we were created? How would we know what pleases him? How would we know right from wrong? How would we know how to live? How would we know how to deal with our sin? How would we know why we need to be born again? How would we know how to communicate with our Creator? How would we know the promises of God? How would we know the mercies of God? How would we know the will of God? How would we know the ways of God? How would we know the love of God? How would we know the command of God? And we can go on and on and on with that. But it's so true when you stop and think about that. If God didn't preserve his word throughout all the generations that have ever existed here on planet Earth, how would we know these things? Right? Because God communicates to us through his word and reveals himself to us through his word and prepares us through his word for the times that we're living in and the reality of his coming, and in light of his coming, how should we live? He's so clear in his word on those things. Martin Luther, I love this quote, says, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." Again, have you found that to be true in your own life? Yeah. It is alive. It's living. It's active. It's powerful. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. No man can stand before him and he sees everything. He knows everything about us through and through, inside out. All of mankind. That's amazing. Every person on this planet, he knows what's going on. And he addresses each one through his word. His word is alive. It speaks to us. It has feet. It runs after us, right? When we're straying, God calls us back through his word. It has hands that lays hold of me. You know, it really does. God's word is so wonderful in that way. Augustine said, St. Augustine, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. There's a cute little cartoon that I've seen on Facebook every now and then. And it's a guy, it's a character, you know, cartoon. He's on his knees and he's praying, "God, speak to me," is the first caption. Has anyone seen this? And then in the second caption, all you see is a hand coming out of the cloud, a big hand with the Bible that says, "I already have." I love that. Every time I see a post, I'm like, man, I love that picture because it's true. We'll say, "God, speak to me. I'm not hearing from you." And meanwhile, he's saying, "I already have. In my word, I've spoken to you." But if we're not in his word, we're not receiving what he has to say. So I know we've gone through Psalm 119 before, but I just wanted to touch on some of the aspects of God's word through it, because hopefully in the homework that was assigned, we see in Psalm 118 has a lot to say about the word of God and its impact on our lives. So the wonder of God's word is clearly seen in Psalm 119, where it shows us that God's word should have top priority in our lives. It stands as the giant among the Psalms, Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. And that was one of the questions that we did for Bible trivia for those of you that came to the foot spa. How many verses are in Psalm 119? 176 verses. Since the book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, it shows us the priority of praise and worship to God. If you go through that psalm, you'll see how many times that is being stated in that psalm. It also shows us the priority of God's word to God. Why is it so important to God that we receive his word? In the psalm, it is an acrostic or alphabetic psalm in Psalm 119, in which there are 8 couplets beginning with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you could take each one of those sections, those 8 verses, and just pray them through one day, or pray them through the whole thing every day. But you could break it down section by section that day and pray just what's in those 8 sections, realizing you're going through the Hebrew alphabet as you do that, which is pretty cool. The first eight sections begin with Alpha, which equals A, and the next 8 with Beth, equals B, etc. C, D, E, what their alphabet is. It is the A to Z of God's word. So 14 benefits that we find in God's word in Psalm 119, and just think about these things. And as you think about them, think about the day we're living in today. You know, with everything we see, the headlines, everything we hear going on in the world, but maybe in our own world, the phone calls we get that we didn't expect, you know, that, excuse me, maybe you have to quarantine for 7 to 10 days, or maybe you find out I have to get the vaccine. I'm going to lose my job if I don't get it, you know. These are realities of what's going on right now in our word, in our world. But look at how God's word ministers to us in the times we're living in. Number 1 says, the word of God breathes life into my discouraged soul. How many here get discouraged? Yeah. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Psalm 118, verse 25. How many here have felt at times you're clinging to the dust? Like, Lord, I don't even know what to say. Anyone been there, done that? I don't know what to say. I look around and it's like, I don't even know what to say. You know, you just feel like discouraged. You can't even lift up your head. Well, be encouraged. The psalmist felt that way too, who wrote the psalm many times, because you see that throughout the psalm and in other psalms that we've been going through and you've been going through on your own. You see when they were desperate or discouraged, they still cried out to God. They still believed God based on who he is and his promises, despite what they were going through, despite how they were feeling. They still put their trust in God and his word. And you see that common theme throughout the Psalms, right? So when we're discouraged, the Word of God breathes life into our discouraged soul. But if we're not exposing ourselves to the Word of God, how can He encourage us, right? You know, sometimes we get mad at God, but what are we doing? Are we positioning ourselves before Him where He can speak to us, encourage us, give us hope? I think about, again, when we opened this teaching, it referred back to Mary and Martha. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing what He had to say. And I'm sure she was clinging to every word He had to say. He was her life. He's our life, especially when we're discouraged. We realize my life is found in You, not in this world. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. And with each passing day, I feel more and more like a foreigner here, like I don't belong. And that's a good thing. It's not a sad thing, it's a good thing, because we weren't created for this world. We were created for heaven. We were created for Jesus, to be with Him. So number two, another benefit of God's Word that we see in Psalm 119 tells us the Word of God exposes misleading thoughts. How many of you here have had misleading thoughts, which God has had to correct numerous times because I wasn't seeing right or you weren't seeing right? Yeah. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Psalm 119, verse 29 was a prayer of the psalmist. He realized, God, I need to see things from Your perspective. Why? Because I'm fallen. I'm still very earthly. So I can run everything through my mind, through the natural reasoning mind, which is, the Bible tells me, is an enemy of God in Romans 8. My natural reasoning mind is an enemy of God. So I need the Lord, God's Word, to expose these misleading thoughts. Again, that correction. God's Word corrects us in that way. And there should be something in us that desires this. Put false ways far from me and teach me Your law. I want to be teachable. I want to be humble before You, Lord, because I don't know what I think I know. It's okay to say that to Him. He's wise. He's full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. And as we saw from some of our teachings, He does teach and He does come, but it's to the humble. To the one that says, again, here we are, I don't know, Lord. I need You to shed light on what I'm reading in Your Word right now. Open up my understanding, because I'm not seeing it, or I'm seeing it wrong. And if we come to Him in that way, He does. I love that about Him. So another benefit of God's Word in Psalm 119, number three, is the Word of God modifies my gaze. We see that in Psalm 119, verse 37, when the psalmist said, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." It should be, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in Your ways." And we need God to help us to see what we're really living for. Is what we're really living for, does it really matter in the light of eternity? If the economy crashes, can't rely on our bank accounts, 401s, 401k, as it's called, what are we going to do? Are we going to fall apart? it's possible these things happen in our generation, in our lifetime. We need God to modify our gaze. The psalmist said, I have been young and I have been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor see begging for bread. That's either true or it's not. That was written by David, running and hiding in caves in the wilderness, away from all of his securities. He had no one but God to rely on. I think that's going to be our lot, should the Lord tarry, and things continue in the way that they're going. There's no security in this world. But our security is in Christ. And that's why it's important to be in the Word of God, because God's Word modifies our gaze. It shows us what's really important. And if we pray, God, help me to turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things that mean nothing in the light of eternity, and show me the way to life. If we pray and ask God that, he will do that in our lives. But then you'll start feeling more and more, I don't belong here. This is not my home. The things you used to find pleasure in, you're not finding pleasure in anymore. I remember going back home several years ago, and I was sharing with my spiritual leader. I told her, I said, man, you know, it's really changing a lot in New York. It's so different there now. I just can't relate to what I see there. And she looked at me, she said, it's not New York that's changing, Rose. It's you. She knew my life. I mean, we lived in community for 22 years together. She knew me. And I never thought of that until she said that. I was like, wow, Lord, you are weaning me from this earth. Little by little, you're weaning me. Could it be that this, I don't know how to say it without being censored, but you know the thing they want to put on the phone to prove this thing? So you can go to different places. And if you don't have the thing on your phone and this thing, you can't go. Could it be that the Lord is weaning us from the earth? Come out of her, my people. Be separated, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Revelation 18, 1 Corinthians 6. Could it be? Or 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 2 Corinthians 7, 1. I think God's trying to help us, to show us what is really important. The Word of God modifies our gaze. Number four, the Word of God also fills us with true hope. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, verse 19, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. That psalm, that particular verse, I held on to that for many, many years, believing for unsaved family. That God had spoken to me several times in my prayer time and services I went through when I was in the Word. I'm gonna do it. You're not gonna do it, but I'm gonna do it. And there were times that I would look and I'd say, it looks hopeless. It's not gonna happen. How's this gonna happen, Lord? But I would have to hold on to this verse. Lord, remember your word that you've spoken to me. You've given me hope. Remember your word, Lord. It became a prayer. God's word fills us with true hope because we realize he's not a liar. What he says, he does. And I had to come to the place that even though I was praying and believing God for miracles, that if it didn't happen, God didn't fail. because I saw him reaching out his hand so many times over and over and over and over again to those individuals that I knew if they die without Christ, it wasn't God's fault. Because I was witnessing him trying to get their attention, trying to reach them. Thankfully, they did respond. But I knew God would be just if they took their final breath and did not receive the Lord, because he was faithful to the word that he had spoken. So what we see in Psalm 119, in number 5, the word of God is our solace. Again, this verse, this is my comfort and my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Psalm 119, verse 50. The afflictions we go through, it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. We find solace in God in those times, right? How many times in affliction we found comfort in God's word? The trials that we go through, the difficulties, the hardships. God was there speaking to us through his word. Whether when we were spending time in the word by ourselves, or maybe go to a service and people were speaking out scriptures, or a song was being sung, or the message, or you get in the car, you turn on the radio, when there's a song being sung that's ministering to that need in your heart, you realize, you are my comfort, Lord, in the midst of everything I'm facing, in the midst of everything I'm going through, and you are giving me life in the midst of it, because it's alive. Your word is alive. Number 6 says, the word of God is a consolation in hard times. How we need this. How we need this right now. The psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Psalm, that should be Psalm 119, verse 75. Not Psalm 110. 119, verse 75. So the Lord wants to get us to a place that even though in hard times, we know that in his faithfulness, he knows why I need to go through what I'm going through. You're going through what you're going through. He knows why. He knows why. He allows trials to come into our lives, right? We saw that in the book of Job. Way back when we were studying through the book of Habakkuk, I believe it was, we talked about Job and everything Job went through. And one thing that I'm seeing as I'm reading through the Bible again from the Old Testament, the chronological Bible, it's amazing to me how the prophets all saw God's hand in every judgment that came upon God's people or upon the nations. It's amazing to me. They all saw the hand of God. If you read the Old Testament with a keen eye, and that's not even right, like with a magnifying glass, you will see it says, where God says, I will, he will, he does. And it's amazing to me what's standing out, how they all can see the hand of God through every judgment that came. There was a reason for it. God's word is a consolation in hard times. We need to know that. In the hard times, don't turn from him. Don't not pick up your Bible. If anything, we need to immerse ourselves like never before in hard times, because that's our comfort. Again, it's our consolation in those times. God speaks to us in those times. We're so broken at his feet that somehow we could hear him more clearly and see him like we've never seen him before. How many here have had that happen in the hardest of times? I know some of you here have gone through some really difficult trials, and God has spoken to you in the midst of it. He's faithful. Number 7, the word of God causes me or us to be thankful. We see that in Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight, I will rise to praise you because your righteousness rules. And you'll see that throughout Psalm 119, the heart of gratitude, so much gratitude. And again, the Lord is teaching us how to have a thankful heart. We need a thankful heart because we're murmurers, complainers, grumblers, just like the children of Israel. We get discouraged easy. God, where are you? We accuse him. And that's why we need to be in his word, because when we get in his word, we see, Lord, you're faithful. You're good. You're merciful. I don't deserve the mercy you've extended to me. The blessings you've poured out upon my life, I don't deserve any of it. How can I not have a grateful heart? How can I be murmuring and complaining when there's people that have it a lot worse off than we do right now, like in Afghanistan, Christians that are running for their lives, that the Taliban is looking on their phone to see if they have Bible apps on them and executing them. Yeah, this is what's going on there that the media will not put on mainstream media. It's bad there. Our Christian brothers and sisters are being persecuted and murdered there. And a lot of times they're murdering the children first in front of the parents. You need to know what's going on around the world. We don't have it bad here in America yet. Yet. This isn't always gonna be. We can't make America great again. Those days are over. If you get in the Word of God, you'll see it's true. That's all I'll say. Don't listen to false prophets, to people that are saying different. God's word, you see a pattern. You keep rejecting God, rejecting God, rejecting God. God gives us over to the enemy. He gives us over to the enemy, to nations that are enemies of ours. You have to read the Bible to understand what's happening. And you have to come to a place where you can say, it's well with my soul, Lord, because I'm not living for this world. This is not my home. This is not my home. And if I'm clinging tightly to these things, I don't want to renounce you. Because in Afghanistan, they're telling the believers, convert to the Muslim faith, or we'll kill you right now. Renounce your Christianity. So God's word not only causes us to be thankful for what we have here in the United States of America for however long we have it, but God's word also gives us wisdom. Psalm 119 verse 100 says, I understand more than the age, for I keep your precepts. God's word gives us life. Psalm 119 verse 107 says, I'm severely afflicted, but give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And you see that, hopefully you that have done the homework have saw how many times the Psalms say, quicken me according to, life me according to your word. How many times do maybe we come to service? I can't tell you how many times I've told Allison on Wednesday nights, I'm tired. I feel like I got nothing. I don't even want to teach. I just, God help me. I need the Lord to help me. But somehow we come to service dragging ourselves here, right? We drag ourselves here, right? Feeling the way we feel, and yet we sit under the word and something happens to us inside, right? God likes us. He gets our focus right. He corrects us. I'm thankful for that. It means we're his children. If he corrects us, where we look and see, what was I thinking? I came in here, my thinking was all twisted. But he's straightening me out. Praise the Lord. God's word gives us life. Number 10, the word of God also keeps me from sin. Psalm 119 verse 115 says, "Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of the Lord." Now, these times that we're living in, it's very easy to get very angry over the things that we see and we hear, right? How many of you have been angry? Because it seems like people are getting away with murder, right? But they're not. There will be a day of reckoning. And that's why we have to stay in the word, because we realize evildoers don't always get away with evil. They don't. We see that throughout scripture. God judges sin, not only in our lives, but in their lives. So when we spend time in God's word, he can deal with me about my anger. He could deal with me about just my bitter heart. He could deal with me about maybe being critical of everyone else or self-righteous, right? God's word deals with us in that way, keeps us from sin. It points these things out in our lives so we can repent of them. Again, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We need to learn to love that. Some of us have had horrible upbringings with discipline in our families, so we don't see discipline in a positive light. We see it as a negative thing. That's how I always saw it, because my natural dad was abusive. But I had to learn, God is not like my natural dad, my biological dad, I should say. He's not like him. He disciplines because he loves. He loves us. Proves I'm his daughter. Proves you're his daughter. So the word of God keeps us from sin. Verse 11, the word of God gives me a longing for eternity. How many would say yes to that? Especially as you get older, you really start longing for eternity. I tell Allison, I'm cleaning out stuff in my house like I'm ready to go be with the Lord. I mean, I'm cleaning it out. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't want to have someone come after me and have to do it and say, oh my goodness, get rid of stuff. How much stuff do we need, right? That's what the Lord keeps speaking to me. How much stuff do you need? You have more than. So we'll be doing another yard sale, right? In the fall. Just put it out there and let people take it. And not your junk. And she's laughing back there. The good stuff. The good stuff. Bless someone else. The word of God gives me a longing for eternity. My eyes long for your salvation and the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Psalm 118, verse 123. Number 12, the word of God encourages me when I'm discouraged. That's a lot like the first one that we read. I rise before dawn and cry out for help, and I hope in your words. Psalm 119, verse 147. And the word of God gives me peace, right? Great peace have those who love your Lord. Nothing can make them stumble. Psalm 119, verse 165. If we ever needed peace in the days that we're living in, is today, right? With so much uncertainty, especially with the Middle East and things that are going on there. But Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. He warned us. You're gonna have tribulation in the world. It's gonna be hard, it's gonna be difficult, it's not gonna be easy. But in me, you can have peace. And you could be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. John 16:33, he's overcome the world. So God's word settles my heart. When I'm getting anxious or worried about tomorrow, like how we opened class, what he spoke this morning, don't worry about tomorrow. God's word gives me peace because I realize you're sovereign, you're in control, all my days are numbered by you. You know how I came into this world. You know how I'm leaving. All my days were ordained by you. They're written in a book, the scriptures say. So what am I worried about? What am I worried about? Why am I so afraid? God's word gives me peace. I'm so thankful. What would life be like? We're back to that question again. What would life be like if we didn't have God's word? Where he can speak to us in these ways. And what's amazing is in our generation, he's speaking to us in these ways. But even in other generations, he comforted his people in the midst of everything they were facing. Even in the midst of judgment, when Jeremiah the prophet came and said, you're going into captivity for 70 years, Daniel hung on to that. The whole time he was in Babylon, he hung on to the promise, but you will, after 70 years is complete, you will go back to your homeland. God's word gives us peace in the midst of whatever might come. You got to hold on to who he is, to who he is. Number 14 says, the word of God leads me to Christ. Psalm 118, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. How many of us feel that way sometimes? Wandering a little too much here, a little too much here. And we either get before him in the word or we come to a service and he reveals to us, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing over there? Or why are you spending so much time over here? And he straightens us out, right? He leads us back on that narrow pathway. I'm so thankful for that. Where would we be if his word didn't speak into our lives in that way? We'd be deceived. We'd be deceived. Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So what we learned from this chapter that we went through on chapter 7, just the practice of a devotional life and receiving his word, how God's word ministered to us in different situations. And Psalm 119 is just a perfect psalm that really reveals just how valuable God's word should be to us. What we also saw in that chapter, is that God's word should be more precious to us than gold. God's word should be our most valuable treasure in life. And I know as you read through that chapter, there were some testimonies there of individuals in other countries that what they would do for just one page in the Bible, or maybe just one scripture on a piece of paper, how they would cling to that and hold on to that. And that's all they have. That's all they have. They know how to treasure God's word. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardships, they've learned how to value what God's word has to say. And I pray that that would be our testimony, that we would love God's word in the same way as our brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering all around the world for their faith. That we would love God's word in the same way, value it, treasure it in the same way, and want to position ourselves in a place before him where he can speak to us. He can minister to us no matter what we're going through. And that's where you see, we go back to that quote, what Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me, it has feet, it runs after me, it has hands, it lays hold of me. And that is true. I've seen that in my own life. And I'm sure you've seen it in your life as well. So for next week, we're going to go through chapter 8, In a Place of Quiet Rest, getting into the Word, and we'll be looking at a listening ear, how to listen well. Because if you look at the gospel, Jesus spoke about, take heed how you hear, he would say. So we'll learn, how do I take heed what I'm hearing? Because again, we just don't want to hear, but we want to do what he's telling us to do. And the word for me this morning, like I said, is don't worry about tomorrow. Don't spend your day today worrying about tomorrow. Because you just have this moment. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. So Lord, I do thank you that you do speak to us so clear. So clear. And it seems like the harder the time is, the clearer we hear you and see you. Lord, somehow, I don't know how you do that, but I'm just so thankful tonight that you have not left us alone. You're with us. No matter what tomorrow holds, no matter how hard it gets here in the United States of America, you'll be with us just like you're with our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and so many other countries that are suffering for their faith, dying for what they believe is true. God, may you find us faithful in the same way, no matter what comes. Lord, I'm asking this, praying this, you know, that is a desire of my heart, to be found faithful in that way, no matter what. And that's my desire for each one of these women in this class, the ones that are listening online, the children. God, what a testimony those children are in Afghanistan. Lord, I pray that you would make our children here in the United States of America with that same boldness and tenacity to be able to stand in the face of evil and still love Christ with all of their heart, knowing that they are going straight into your arms. When they close their eyes and they open them, they will be with Jesus. Lord, put that in all of us. Help us not to fear death. Help us not to fear sickness. Help us not to fear what man can do to us. Deliver us, Father, I'm praying this, from these things. Jesus, it's so crucial that we be set free from these things so that we don't cling to our lives here in this world. May we be overcomers, like you told us to overcome, not only with the word of God and our testimony in the blood of Christ, but not loving our lives even unto the death. Lord, these are the days we need that testimony. I'm trusting you to do it in each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have to.